This leadership class is very inspiring to me. It is really making me a better person.
I've learned so much in this class about myself, and I've noticed how you can't change somebody else. You have to change yourself before you can change anything else, and I think Tony.
Be kind to everyone that you meet.
This leadership class that Tony did a great job with leading, it has pushed me to push myself.
Speak by Rick. This time, it's season 4, and it's bigger and better than what it's ever been before. We've got old guests returning, we've got new guests coming, we've got no guests, we've got some guests, we've just got some bricks to put on top of bricks to put on top of bricks to put on top of bricks. You get the idea. Listen, enjoy this moment. You've come to this podcast because life brought you here. You've attracted it, you deserve it. Yours, so let's get it.
Sweet, this conference is being recorded. Let's see if we can get this thing started now. Welcome and thank you for calling. This is the Plant Better Weekly Mindset Call. This call is designed to pour into you so you can pour into the lives of others. My name is Antonio T. Smith Jr., and I will be your farming partner, so to speak, and I will help you plant seeds that are worthy of the quality of your life, okay? So this is what I want to do. Everything is about seeds, and I want you to plant better seeds in order for you to be a better person. A few announcements. I want to enter to the announcement section of tonight. We have a podcast. You can follow me right now on the Brick by Brick Motivational Podcast, which is available on iTunes and Podomatic. To access either of these platforms, simply visit the iTunes store from your podcast app and search Brick by Brick by Antonio T. Smith Jr. If you miss any part of this call tonight, it will be available for download, along with many different episodes and business topics and personal development courses. Now, you're not going to hear it the next week. We got lots of episodes, and this show is in season 4, so you may be a week or two behind, but you will get this phone call. Also, I do offer one-on-one coaching. There are many people on this call right now. There are many people on this call right now whose lives, incomes, and relationships have been dramatically and drastically changed and increased as a result of my one-on-one coaching. If you are interested, email us at coaching@revtony.org to schedule an initial coaching session to see if we are a good fit for one another. Listen, I need you to understand something. I coach people with master's degrees, doctor's degrees. I even coach 15 and 16-year-olds. You'd be surprised how many parents have signed slips and wanted me to coach their 15-year-olds, and they're doing a wonderful job right now. And lots of these people are foregoing opportunities that would have made them unsuccessful and are now crossing into the successful time. Last thing, if you are on this call and if you're ready for a change, grab a pen, get you a piece of paper, and take some good notes. If you're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever your social media favorite may be, wherever you want, however you want it to be, and you hear something that resonates with you or speaks to you and your situation, quote it and use the hashtag #PlantBetter. Let me say that one more time. If you're on social media, Facebook, Twitter, however you want to get there, however, whatever your favorite social media, I want you. If you hear something that resonates with your spirit, resonates with your motivation, your passion, or it speaks to you in your particular or similar situation or group situation or family situation, I want you to use the hashtag #PlantBetter and tell the world. Now, let's get into this phone call. Tonight, I want to talk about how to be a CEO and win. How to be a CEO and win. Listen, here is what's amazing about life. What's amazing about life is very simple, that we all have the opportunity to be great in this life. Now, life has a funny way of knocking the life right out of us, right? If you're on this phone call, you understand what I'm saying. Life has a very funny way of knocking all the life out of you. As a matter of fact, some of you have just come, there's no doubt about it. There's too many people on this phone call for some of you not to have had a bad day tonight, but you pressed your way into this phone conversation. Others of you have had a good day, and you're using this phone conversation to lift it higher and to start your week off, which is why we do it on Sundays, to start your week off and float into your destiny and float into your successes. And I want to tell you that no matter what you are, you can be a CEO and win. Now, don't let that deter you, because if you are not interested in being a CEO, that's okay. On this very same phone call, you're going to learn how to mold yourself into what CEOs want to hire or what hiring managers want to hire. So I've got 10 things for you. Just like last week, I have 10 things for you that will teach you how to be a CEO and win. Number one, I hope you're taking good notes. Number one, find your passion. Now, that shouldn't have surprised anyone. Find your passion. I was very lucky to find my passion when I was 27 years old. Now, let me just stop right there, because two people had different reactions. There's two sets of people that just reacted to that. Somebody just said, wow, I'm older than 27, and I have not discovered my passion. Don't worry about it. Within the next few minutes, I will teach you how to discover your passion. Someone said, wow, 27 years old, how old is this guy, and why did he wait so long to find his passion? Well, let me address that right now. I was not raised in an environment, and I did not have the opportunities that some of you may have had to learn such a thing earlier. But that doesn't matter, because once I found my passion, I retired within 2 years. Listen to what I just said. I found my passion at 27 years old, and when I discovered what my passions were, or my number one passion, I retired 2 years later. I'm going to say it again, because repetition is extremely powerful, and sometimes when you say things three times, people understand it. The moment I found my passion is also the moment I attracted the knowledge and the people and the circumstances and the opportunity to retire within 24 months. You need to find your passion immediately. You need to also teach your children to find their passion. I have a friend who almost killed her child's passion. Listen to what I'm saying. All of you on this phone, some of you have no idea what your passion is. You have no idea what your talents are, because either your church, or if you're not religious, something has guided you to think that passions or talents only happen when someone is singing or dribbling a basketball or whatever it is that they do. That's not the truth. Those are talents. Those are passions. But there's something far much greater. And before I tell you how to find your passion, let me first address to you that if you're not teaching your children how to find their passions, you're dooming them to live the life that you currently can't stand right now. Listen to what I just said. If you're not helping your children find their passions, you are currently dooming them to repeat the life that you don't enjoy right now. Now, this doesn't apply to everybody, this particular section right here. But if you have not found your talent and or your passion, and you don't enjoy your life, and you're not teaching your children how to find their passion, which you can't, because if you don't know yours, you can't teach your children, you're dooming your children to have bad credit just like you. You're dooming your children to marry the wrong person just like you. You're dooming your children to have low self-esteem just like you. And if you love your children, that is not the life you want to give your children. So I have a friend who almost killed her child's passion. A beautiful person who is a friend of mine, has a beautiful spirit is what I mean to say. She had a child that had an incredible musical gift, but she didn't know it. And so her child was 3 years old, and her child was beating on the back of the church pews. And, of course, don't make attention to yourself. We are in a quiet environment. Don't be loud. Please don't do these things. Stop. And she would pop her child's hand, not in an aggressive way, not in a way in which you got to worry about it and call child support or anything like that, but just, no, baby, don't do that and things like that. And so one day, a piano teacher said, listen, do you mind if I see if your child can play piano? And lo and behold, long story short, the child was a genius at playing piano and all percussion instruments, and the mother did not realize that at three, the child's talent was pouring out of her daughter, and the child can't communicate this. All the child was doing was keeping a rhythm on the back of the pew. So to the mother, it looked like the child was being disruptive, but to the person who knew talent, who knew their talent and recognized musical talent, she recognized that the daughter was using the beating on the back of the pew in a rhythm manner in which she recognized that this child may be gifted in music. Here's what I want to ask you humbly, and I want to challenge you a little bit. Are you the mother stopping your children from their talents coming out, or are you the pianist who sings talents in children? You have to be, well, you have no choice. You're going to be one of the other, one or the other. You're either going to be the mother stopping the child, or you're going to be the pianist helping the child. Now, the reason I'm telling this story is because I have permission from the mother, and the mother is wonderfully supportive of her daughter and absolutely ecstatic about her daughter's talent. And the moment that happens, she starts bringing out her daughter's talent and spending as much money as she possibly could to help her talent because she realized what she was doing. And so you need to be able to find your passion. And sometimes your passions and your talents will be, well, all the time your passions and talents will be connected, but sometimes your passions will be hobbies, and you'll have to find out which one goes into your talents. Let's see if we can break that down and get into that a little bit. You probably, grown people on this phone, would not find your passion the first time you go out there and try. So if you're grown right now, if you're trying to apply for a job, you will not find your passion the very first time that you try to do it. And some of you right now are going, you know what, I don't know my passion. I don't know my passion. And that's okay. Let me help you. Learn, if you were a college student, I would tell you, well, listen, learn to take the job that you would take if you were independently wealthy. Learn to apply for the job that you would take if money did not matter. What is that saying? That's saying, listen, if you didn't need money, if you didn't need to become a lawyer because being a lawyer makes money, and that's exactly why people become lawyers, if you wanted to do what you wanted to do, what would that be if you were wealthy? You may say boat riding, or you may say tent making. I don't know, but regardless of what it is, if money was not an obstacle, if money was not the goal, what would you be doing if you didn't need money? And that's basically asking a very possible question. What would you do for the rest of your life for free if you never got paid for it? And listen, don't let people tell you, now I'm telling you about to be from the dudes for free, but don't let people tell you that money does not make you happy. That is a lie. I know I'm going against the grain, but listen, it is a lot better to cry in a car than to cry under a bridge and be homeless. Money does make you happy, but more money than what you need will not make you happier. Listen to what I just said. Money does make you happy, but having more money or making more money or acquiring more money or hunting more money than what you actually need will not make you more happy. Let's see if I display it this way. If you have $1 million, that doesn't make you $1 million happy. And if you have $2 million, it doesn't make you more happier than the millionaire. The way that money makes you happy is when your basic needs are met. And when you have extra to be comfortable and do what you desire to do without stressing, money will make you happy. If you're homeless and I give you a job and I take you from zero income a year to $53,000 a year within a week, your level of happiness will skyrocket because your basic needs were met. So don't let nobody tell you that money does not make you happy. Money does make you happy when it meets your basic needs and a tad bit more. But money should never be your motivation to find your passion. Just because you have a lot of money does not mean you're happy. So don't, but more money will not allow for you to be more happier. If you still can't find your passion, here's, after I just said all that, and I'm spending a lot of time on this one, if you cannot find your passion, here's what I want you to do. Take a note. Take this note right now. If you got a big piece of paper or a couple of pieces of paper, here's what I want you to do. I want you to create what I have my leaders do. It's called a loved it, loathed it list, right? And I'm using the word load, load for hate, load, L-O-A-T-H-E-D, load. And I want you to use loved it or loathed it. Here's what I want you to do. On a piece of paper, vertically draw a line from the top all the way to the bottom. On the left side of the paper, I want you to write loved it. On the right side of the paper, I want you to write loathed it. Loathed, hate, stronger than hate. I could not stand what I was doing. And then I want you to keep that piece of paper for the next 7 days. And every single thing that you do, I want you to write it down on the loved it list if you loved it, or on the right side of the paper on the loathed it list if you hated it. I don't care if you pick up the kids. If you pick up the kids and you hated it, say you say hated it. That doesn't mean you hate your children. You may just simply hate waiting in line for 45 minutes to pick up your kids. So maybe you hate this organization. And here's the deal. After the end of the 7 days, I want you to see two things. I want you to look at your loved it list, and I want you to recognize that some of the things in your life that you do make you very happy. Find what those are. Find the commonality between all those things, and there lies your passion, or at least it will point you to your passion. Here's an example. If you were helping people and you loved it, giving free food and you loved it, being an usher at your church and you loved it, helping somebody write their paper and you love it, whatever it is, then you, sir, ma'am, love serving people and that's your passion. And so if you're working in a cubicle job all by yourself and you don't get to have interaction with other people, it's probably because you're an extrovert, but you're at an introverted job, and that's why you hate your job. I just liberated somebody right there. I just made you understand why you can't stand your job. It's not because you have a bad job. It's simply because you're an extrovert doing an introverted job. Right? So do that. Now, here's the thing I want you to say about your loaded list that's more important. I want you all to recognize that if your loaded list is longer than your loved it list, and it wraps around your paper, and it goes to the back of the paper, you need a lot of stuff, and that's okay. Be honest with yourself about this for a whole week. I need you to understand this here. You're spending, let's say your loaded list is 80% of your list, and your loved it list is 20% of your list. I need you to understand this one thing and this one thing very well. You're spending 80% of your week doing what you hate. And if you spend 80% of your week doing what you hate, you will spend 80% of your month doing what you hate. And if you spend 80% of your month doing what you hate, you will spend 80% of your year doing what you hate. And if you spend 80% of your year doing what you hate, you are also spending 80% of your life by the time you die doing what you hate. And how can you be 100% happy when you're spending your life being 80% having the worst day of your life? Make sure of the things you do in your day, you love it more than you hate it. You need to also, while you're trying to find your passion, you need to build companies around your passions. You need to build companies around the passions of your people and don't make your people build the passion of your company. Listen to what I just said, Mr. CEO, Mrs. CEO. Look at your company, and you need to build your company around the passion of your people instead of making your people build the passion around your company. Why am I telling you to do this? Because if you're trying to be the CEO, if you're leaving a stable income, if you're leaving security, your job just became super hard. If you are going to be a millionaire, trillionaire, whatever you want to be, or just comfortable enough to swipe your card at Walmart without it paying decline and being embarrassed in front of 30 people, if you want that, you need the people coming to your job, your place of employment, ready to die for that job, not because they have to, but simply because they love their job, and the best part of their week is reporting to work every day. Build your companies around the passions of your people, and don't make the people build around the passions of your company. Make sure all your people are on the right seat in the right bus. Stop putting competent people in places or in positions that make them incompetent. You cannot, Albert Einstein says it this way, I might mess up a quote, but you can make fun of a dolphin all day long because it can't climb a tree, but that doesn't make the dolphin unintelligent. It makes you unintelligent. You need to make sure you put your people in the right seat on the right bus. Lastly, inside of finding your passion, give your people talent strength test. Now, I personally use GallupStrengthCenter.com. If you're on internet, I'm sure my staff is posting that right now. I'm not watching. I personally use GallupStrengthCenter.com. Let me spell it for you. That is, let me spell it phonetically like the Army would. That's Golf Alpha Lima Lima Uniform Papa Sierra Tango Romeo Echo November Golf Tango Hotel Sierra and Center.com. GallupStrengthCenter.com. That is a $9.99 test. There's nothing more valuable than investing $10 to put people in their right spot. Number two, notice now I spent 21 minutes on number one. Why did I spend 21 minutes on finding your passion? Because brothers and sisters over this phone, if you wake up with no passion, you will hate your life. If you work in a position and you don't get to use your passions, see your passions, do your passions, you will hate your job. Number two, hire well. Warren Buffett says it this way. He looks for integrity, intelligence, and energy. And you want people of integrity at your business. You want people of intelligence at your business. And you want energy, energetic people at your business. Why? Why do you want people of integrity and intelligence? Integrity says character. Everybody, Dr. Henry Cloud writes in his book, that everybody has brains and talents, but character is what they need to be successful. But you need integers. Stop hiring people that are thinkers and start hiring people that are doers. Don't focus on the 4.0 grade average. Focus on what have they completed. Jeffrey Combs says, this is how he hires. He looks for people with passion because you cannot teach passion. So, very quickly, here is how you can find people during the interview process or people you want to work with in casual conversation. Here's a few things that you can do. I'm going to run right through them. Here are a few things that you can do to find passionate people. Pay attention to people's hobbies and their interests. During the interview process, it's important to discover a candidate's hobbies outside of work. Passionate people show great enthusiasm when sharing what they do both in work and play. The whole time, 23 minutes, you've been hearing me on this phone call, and I completely sound passionate. Why? Because this is my passion, not to run my mouth, to teach people, to empower people, to make people better. I found out when I was 27 years old that I loved making people better. I enjoy watching people be successful, and I enjoy being part of that success. Nothing thrills me more than to see people say, man, I did it, I accomplished it, and I really thank you for that. That is what I love to do. What do you love to do? You hear my excitement. You hear my passion because this is what I love to do. This phone call is only good. It's only packed with information, more information than a 16-week college class, because I'm passionate about it. If I was not passionate about this phone call and my teachings, this phone call would suck, and all the information about it would suck, and I would be talking like clear eyes. But that's not the case, because I love what I do. Ask the candidate how much he or she values a balanced work-life schedule. The people who know how to work and play hard often make the best team members. Also, evaluate professional growth goals. Listen, guys, if you're hiring somebody that doesn't have any goals, if you're dating someone that does not have any goals, leave. Did you hear what I just said? If you're dating someone that doesn't have any goals, leave. If you're hiring someone that doesn't have any goals, end the interview. If you're not someone trying to be CEO and you're trying to get hired, if you don't have any goals and I ask you the question, you're done. If you're trying to date me, which you can't, I'm married. But if you're trying to date me, you cannot date me. I'm married. Did you hear that part? You cannot date me because you don't have any goals. Don't attach yourself to people who don't have any goals. Measure their capacity for generosity. Passionate people love to watch other people succeed. The only people you will never find a passionate hater. Somebody, please, right now, go on Twitter or whatever you're listening. Please, right now, you will never find a passionate hater. Hashtag plant better. You'll find a hater that's passionate about hating you, but you will never find a passionate hater. Hate. Successful people are too passionate about their dreams to hate on yours. Oh, somebody quote that one too. Come on. Successful people are too passionate. Two with two O's. Now, don't do it grammatically incorrect. Two, also. Successful people are too passionate to hate on your dreams because they're too busy focusing on their own. Measure people by their generosity. Test their ability to manage conflict. That's another one. If you're hiring people, you need to test people's ability to manage difficulty. Listen, if you have somebody that you're trying to hire, that you're trying to work with, that you're trying to, you know what, Pat, most of you starting the businesses, let me take this down a notch. If you're trying to start a business and your business partner cannot handle difficult situations, I kind of just went through this today. If your business partner cannot handle a difficult situation, if your business partner cannot handle a disagreement, if your business partner cannot handle when things go stress, you don't need to have that person as your business partner. A leader is only a leader because obstacles are ahead. Listen to what I said. There's no reason for you to have or hire a leader if there's not going to be any obstacles. If the situation doesn't have any obstacles, this is why you don't need a leader. This is why moms, especially stay-at-home moms, this is why stay-at-home moms are the most successful people in network marketing. Why? Because you can't tell me that a woman can't handle a difficult situation. Let me tell you, a man will get a cold and he will lay down as if he is dying. Sniffle. And he can't do anything at all. A woman can have the flu, car keys in her left hand, baby bottle in her left hand, TV remote in her left hand, open the car door with her left hand, and still have her baby in her right hand with the twin on top of the other arm, other part of the arm in the right hand, and still somehow put the kids in the car seat while the man would have to make 50 million trips just to do what a woman can do in her sleep. I know now, for sure. I just made all my women happy about that one. without a doubt, women, especially mothers, are the greatest leaders on planet Earth. I know this is a male-dominated world. I know that men have created environments that force women to compete with one another, because men will have women, will have 100 women applying for one job. I get that. That is a terrible environment that we have created, and I am sorry for that. All I can tell you is there are companies out there that are not treating women like that, but here's what I can tell you for sure. Some of the greatest leaders on planet Earth are women, period, point blank. Why? Because mothers, not just mothers, but women too, women and or mothers can manage difficulties very well. And here's the deal. Passionate people are so passionate, they're often courageous. Gauge what thrills them. Passionate people are excitable people. When you're talking to somebody, monitor what they get excited about, and you will find out what their passion is. Now, before I move on to number three, and we're going to fly through the rest of these, but you're going to get all the information. Before I move to number three, allow for me to say something. I just told you about passion, and the last thing I said was passionate people are excitable people. If you follow their passions, you will find out what makes them happy. I want to reverse that for a second, because I also want to keep you away from dispassionate people. I want to keep you away from people who are bad for you. So let me say this here. Monitor what makes a person angry, and you will find out the quality of that person. Listen to what I just said. Monitor what makes a person angry, and you will discover the quality and the character of that person. If someone is angry with the truth, you are simply dealing with someone that is not a leader, and they're hiding from themselves, and they enjoy conflict, and they're insecure in themselves. Let me shorten it up so you can take a note. If someone is angry with the truth all the time, you're dealing with someone who is insecure within themselves. Passionate people can handle the truth. People with good character can handle the truth. Now, I'm not saying make the truth mean. I'm simply saying when you monitor someone is always upset when small people are picked on, someone is always upset with bullies, that's a good person that probably was picked on as a child or watched someone get picked on as a child, and they are a protector of little people. So I'm not saying angry is wrong. I'm telling you, watch what people get angry with, and you will find out the quality of that person's character. Number three. Now we're getting into the good stuff. I had to take a while from one and two because you needed to catch that. Because if you didn't catch number one, if you didn't catch find your passion, and if you didn't catch hire your well, just don't start a business. I tell you what, just email antonio@revtony.org and send me your money. I'll start a business with your money. If you don't get find your passion and hire people well, send me your money, because you're going to lose it all, and I can do something with it. Number three. Don't care what others think. Stay inside your circle of competence. Listen, guys, dreamers will always find themselves in the path of people who want to take away their dreams. Dreamers will always find themselves in the path where people want to take away their dreams. It has never bothered me, ever. Ever. It has never bothered me if people disagree with what I've thought. As long as I know the facts, I can deal with uncertainty. Listen, and I got all my employees must be on this phone call because we're making them better, and that's what I do. And everybody who works for me right now is saying, yeah, he don't care when people disagree with him. It has never in my life bothered me. In my life. If people disagree with what I thought, as long as I know the facts, I can deal with uncertainty. But here is what makes people be able to at least deal with me. I just make sure I treat people well while they disagree with me. Listen, you have to have the courage to know that you are right. If you're right about something, not because you have an ego, because you know the facts. And just because somebody disagrees with you does not give you the right to mistreat them. Just because someone disagrees with you does not give you the right to mistreat them. There are more things that I don't know about. I simply stay away from those things. Listen. There are a billion things. No, there's an infinite amount of things that I do not know anything about or a little about. I stay away from those things. Why? Because those things will make me look bad. Did that make sense? I stay away from things I don't know anything about because those things will make me look bad. Every single day you meet me, you will meet me when I'm feeling good and I'm looking like a freaking genius. Did you hear what I just said? Every day you meet me, you will meet me on a day in which I feel like I'm good, which I feel like I'm the man, and in which I look like a genius. Why? I would never talk about any topic on this phone call that I'm not an expert at. You would never hear me talk about a conversation that I'm not an expert at. If I don't know it and you know it, I'll ask you, be quiet and listen to you. And the quieter I am, the smarter I look. I understand the power of only doing what makes me look amazing. Why would I do anything average if I'm not trying to be average? If it makes you average, don't do it. Every day you meet me, you will only meet me looking like a genius and feeling like a genius. I never do anything that I'm not an expert at. I always hire to my weaknesses, and I always hire people who are smarter than me. And watch this here. And I always make sure that the people I hire know that I think they're smarter than me. Now, listen, you can't BS some people now. Now, listen, people aren't stupid. The people that work for me genuinely believe that I don't care how low they are, I think they're smarter than me. I hire them in an area in which they're a genius at. And when I'm talking to them about that area, I let them lead because I'm only hiring leaders, and I understand that they're smarter than me in this area, and I let them be smarter than me in this area. CEOs on this phone, listen to me. Don't just say you want people smarter than you, you want to hire people smarter than you, and don't do it. Because what you're actually saying when you do that is you want people who are smart but not smarter than you. Don't do that. That kills your business. Tom Watson says it this way: I'm no genius, but I'm smart in spots, and I stay around those areas. I'm no genius, but I'm smart in spots, and I stay around those areas. Henry Ford said, listen, I don't have the education everybody else has. I hire people smarter than me, and I let them do the work. C students will always run this world. A students, all you guys were 4.0, unless you're a doer, you always work for a C student. That's just the way it works, unless you are a doer. If you're a thinker, get ready to work for a C student doer, because C students, they may not have the IQ that you may have had, but IQ intelligence has nothing to do with getting things done. You can be smart and broke, but you can't be a doer and coachable and be broke. If you have a mentor and you're coachable and you're a doer, you will find your way to success. Facts are far more important than being smart. You do not have to be smart to be a CEO and win. You simply need to know the facts and do not be afraid to fail. Last thing on number three, find your first follower as fast as possible. Listen to me. Write this down. In order for you to do number three, which is don't care what others think, you need to find your first follower as fast as possible. Why? Because when you have a crazy idea, when you have a wonderful idea and you believe in it and you don't care what others think, you need to understand that the first follower is your greatest leader. Why? Because if you don't have any followers, you are not a leader. I don't care how many leadership books you read. In order to be a leader, you need some followers. In order to be a leader, you need some followers. In order to be a leader, you need some followers. And the only way you can get other people to follow you is you have to get the first person to follow you. When the first person follows you, you automatically give the rest of the world permission to follow you. Until you have a follower, you're a crazy person. The moment somebody follows you, then you become a leader. Number four, three words, or one word repeated three times. Read, read, read. Ladies, gentlemen, I honestly read on average 10 books a month. If you are going to browse social network, at least find all the business pages that are in your field of interest and read, like those pages or follow those pages, however that social network works, and read all those articles. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you to like and follow those pages. Why? Because if you like them, they're going to pop on your timeline. And while you're distracting yourself with the drama on your timeline, when you see a page that pops up because it's in your passion and in your field of interest, something inside of you won't help but be able to click that and read it. Even if you don't have time to read it now, you'll be just like me and you open up the browser on your phone and you got 15 pages opened up that you say you're going to get back to read to. Listen, there's a wonderful app out there that kind of solves this problem. Google makes it. It's called Pocket. Google makes a wonderful app called Pocket. Google makes a wonderful app. If you hear me repeat something, I'm trying to get you to see it. Google makes a wonderful app called Pocket. Pocket is wonderful. Why? Because it allows for you to pull up a page and then send it to Pocket, and then you can read it later instead of having 15 or 30 pages open like I do. All people need to read. Read, 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 read. I got people on the phone right now that don't like to read, 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 read. If you don't like to read, listen to my next statement. All rich people read. All poor people don't. Somebody please tweet that or something. All rich people read. All poor people don't. All rich people read. All poor people don't. If you currently right now read 4 books a month on average, you are not in overdraft. If you do not read 4 books a month, you are in overdraft. If you read 4 books a month, you're not in overdraft. If you do not read 4 books a month, you are likely in overdraft. Number 5, you need to have you a high margin of safety. If an elevator says 2,000 pounds max, and you put 20 people in that elevator, all weighing 100 pounds, you are asking for the elevator to crash, and everyone in it, including you. If you put 2,000 pounds on a 2,000 pound elevator that has a max, you're asking for the elevator to crash. It may not crash, but it more than likely will. And most of you are spending your money in this manner. You get a dollar and you spend a dollar. You have no margin of error. You have no 6 months reserve. All of you should have at least 6 months in your savings account to cover. All of you need to have 6 months reserves in some sort of savings account or investment account. That means if your mortgage is $1,200, you need to have $1,200 times 6 in some sort of investment account. Why? Because if a husband loses a job, why? Because if you get hurt, somebody catches cancer, you want to at least be okay for 6 months. And when you're investing, you want to invest in what you know, and then you don't want to invest in what is going to not leave you some sort of margin of safety. All right? Most of you spend your money that way. Number 6, have a leg up on the competition. Have a leg up on the competition. People are always trying to take your spot. Make sure you're too good for your spot to be taken. People are always trying to take your spot. Make sure you're too good for your spot to be taken. Now, let me pause right here because I mentor people. I mentor people all around the world, all around the country, and some of you right now are in a capacity most of you are probably on this phone call, in a capacity which I mentor you. Some of you just watched me Some of you literally just watched me be too good for somebody who was trying to take my spot. Listen, this just happened. You need to be people. Capitalism is set up in a manner. The very nature of capitalism is for people to want to come take your castle from you. You invent something, somebody's going to take your invention and invent it better to take your customer. You hear what I just said? Capitalism is set up for you to be dethroned. You, if you're the strongest person and you make your living knocking people out, somebody's coming after you to knock you out. Make sure you are too good to be knocked out. And stop telling everybody your every move. I have a saying, and I love this saying. My saying is, catch me on SportsCenter. You would never get on social network and me tell you, oh, I'm headed to a $1 million meeting, pray for me. You'll never hear that. But by the time you heard that I had a $1 million meeting, it's by the time that meeting was solidified, sold, and now the product is already out there. And I have a saying that I say in my circle, catch me on SportsCenter. Why do I say catch me on SportsCenter? Because every man or woman who loves sports know that SportsCenter, you don't see the game. You see the highlight of the game that already happened. Listen, people need to see the highlights of your success. Don't tell them on your way to success, because people around you won't listen. Some of them won't care, and then some of them will take what you have and do it before you. You think too small. Listen, have a leg up on the competition. Some of you are starting a business right now and you're thinking far too small. Stop trying to reach a few people. Start thinking reaching millions. Don't you create a product and you're not creating a system that does not allow you to reach millions. Don't you create a product and you're not creating a system that does not allow you to reach millions. How many people you think are listening to this phone call? How many people you think, not millions, because the phone call wasn't holding on this line, but when I put it on podcast, how many people you think are going to be listening to the phone call? If you need to be thinking, reach millions. Reach millions. Why? Because nobody's going to care about your product until you reach millions. And if you reach millions before you ever go look for an investor, you are literally going to get a whole lot of money when they invest in you. And you're going to get a percentage of whatever you do if you sell. Everyone in your life is either helping you be successful or they're buying your product and helping you be successful. I'm going to clap for that myself. Everybody in your life is either helping you be successful or they're buying your product, making you successful. Find both of these people, the people who are helping and your customers, and ask them, how can you do better? And get there, get better. Truett Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, said it this way to his meeting. Back in the day when Chick-fil-A was first coming out, there was especially if you're on the East Coast right now, you remember Boston Market, the chicken company, and they were doing well, putting stores all out. This is a true story, putting stores all over the place. And all the Truett Cathy's people were saying, listen, we're afraid we can't do this. We have to get bigger. And Truett Cathy slammed his hand out on the desk in his board meeting. And he told his board, listen, I'm tired of hearing you say how we need to get better. How we need to get bigger. If we get better, our customers will focus and force us to get bigger. Listen to what I just said. He said, if we get better, our customers will force us to get bigger. That's powerful. That's powerful. Number seven, schedule around your personality. Now, this is to liberate somebody. So let me repeat that again. Number seven, schedule around your personality. Be yourself throughout your day, and you schedule your day around who you are. Let me tell you my schedule. 3 a.m., wake up and be thankful. 3:05, hygiene. 3:30, workout. 4 o'clock, hygiene. 4:30, read. 6 p.m., family matters, which means that I'm helping the wife get the kids. 8 o'clock, read. 9 o'clock, writing books, writing whatever I'm writing. 12 o'clock, make phone calls. Lunch, and read audiobooks. Now, watch that. Now, I've been read like 5 times already in my schedule. 2 o'clock, business development. 4 o'clock, writing again. 6 o'clock, read. 8 o'clock, writing. 9 o'clock, read. Look how many times I'm reading in my day. This is my schedule. This fits around me and my personality. If you don't like meetings, don't have meetings, or only have very short meetings and get straight to the point in those meetings, or have super fun meetings. Listen, that was pretty good. If you don't like meetings, stop scheduling your day full of meetings. Why? Because if you don't like meetings, that means meetings are not part of your passion. And if meetings are not part of your passion, that means every time you have a meeting, they drain you. Now, here I am wanting to invest in you, but I meet you drained, and my first impression of you is she or he is not who I want to invest in because they have no energy. Stop doing things that take your energy. If you don't like meetings, stop having meetings. If you have to have meetings, have very short 15-minute meetings. Tell everybody no small talk, get straight to the point. Come up with a solution. Or have foosball or parcheesi or ping pong in your meeting and have people focus. I don't care how you do it. Make your day around you. If you don't like the phone, don't use the phone. Right? Simple. If you don't like the phone, don't use the phone. Now, some of you need to learn how to conquer that fear. I am not telling you not conquer your fear, because you need to conquer your fear. But once you conquer your fear over the phone and you say, I don't like the phone, stop making phone calls or be known as the person who makes 90-second phone calls. I have a guy, and I'm building something for him right now. I have a guy, and I love talking to this guy, because I know every time this guy calls me, he's only going to be on the phone for 90 seconds. When I'm in the middle of one of my things, reading, writing, and I see his name on my call ID, no matter what I'm doing, I answer his call. Why? Because he's going to keep me on the phone for less than 90 seconds. This is clearly somebody who does not like to be on the phone, and he does not stay on the phone, and it brings me great joy to answer his phone call, because his phone calls do not interrupt my day. They simply interrupt my moment, and I thank him every time for interrupting my moment and not my day. You will be more productive when you stop being everyone else and just be yourself. You will be more productive when you stop being everyone else and just be yourself. Number 8. Always be competing. Number 8, always be competing. Now, if you're trying to be a CEO, you need to be competing. If you're trying to get hired, you need to be competing. Complacency kills business. Complacency kills business. If you are satisfied where you are, there's a guy like me waiting to take your spot from you. If you are a rapper and you think you're the best rapper and you're comfortable with it, there's a guy right now. In fact, I didn't even say this here. Jay-Z, the recording artist, Jay-Z, Sean Carter, however you know him, it doesn't matter if you're country, rock, or whatever, right? But matter of fact, I love country. Georgia, Florida Line is my favorite group. I don't know why I wanted to say that, but it's just you know, somebody out there is a Georgia, Florida Line fan, so you can go ahead and tweet me. I said Georgia, Florida Line, and Plant Better, right? Listen, Jay-Z said it this way. Jay-Z said, there's a guy out there right now beating on his table, eating his Cheerios, drinking his milk, writing rhymes, trying to take me down. I'm going to find him, and I'm going to hire him. Yeah, I paused so you can catch that. He is not in competition or afraid of that guy. He said, I'm going to find that guy. I'm going to hire that guy. I'm going to make him rich, and he's going to make me rich. Always be competing. Keep your eye out. Keep your eye on being a disruptive business, or keep your eye out for disruptive businesses. A disruptive business is an innovation or a business that creates a new market from a value network and eventually disrupts an existing market. The term, write this down, guys. I'm going to give you a book you need to read. The term was defined and the phenomenon was analyzed by Clayton M. Christensen. Clayton M. Christensen, C-H-R-I-S-T S-E-N-S-E-N, and he wrote a book called The Innovator's Dilemma. It's the greatest book I read in 2016, The Innovator's Dilemma. Here's what he describes what happens with a disruptive company. A disruptive company, here's the best example, one of the greatest examples he gives about a disruptive company is Netflix. If you don't know this here, let me give you this. Netflix started off as a disruptive company. If you remember how Netflix started off, Netflix was taking old movies, and they were getting these movies, and they were mailing them to people who wanted to watch these movies that they couldn't get anywhere else. And what happened was people didn't have any legacies. And Netflix would do this over and over and over again, and Blockbuster and none of the VHS stores, none of the movie stores didn't care about them. Why? Because Netflix was going after a different target group. Netflix was going after different people, people who wanted to watch movies they'd seen before and did not want to go to the store. Amazon, another disruptive company, but let's highlight Netflix. And by the time Netflix got their market and got extremely good at what they wanted to do, Blockbuster had an opportunity to buy Netflix for $25 million. Blockbuster had an opportunity to buy Netflix, but Netflix was insignificant to Blockbuster, and Blockbuster did not buy Netflix. And here's what Netflix did. Netflix got their niche, got their market, built their thing, built their scheme, built their the business, and then Netflix started doing new movies. They stopped just doing old movies. Netflix started doing new movies, but you didn't have to go to the store for the new movies. All you had to do was go to Netflix. And guess what happened to Blockbuster? All of you went today. It was Friday a couple of days ago, and all of you went inside of Blockbuster, and you rented a movie, and you got some popcorn, you had a good time. No, you did not. Why? Because Netflix disrupted that business model, and Blockbuster never saw them coming because Netflix did not go after Blockbuster's customers. Netflix created their own market and then went after Blockbuster's customers. Listen, everybody over this phone call, I am a disruptive business owner. If you're comfortable, I am coming after your people, and you have no idea I am coming. And you don't want to be thwarted by a business person like me. Number 9. Model success. Find somebody and model them. Imitate someone until you find how to do you from their model. Number 9, model success. Find someone and model them and imitate them until you find out how to do you from their model. That was simple. We don't even need to talk about that one. Model success. There is no point of you trying to be great and you're modeling someone who is not great. If you're not great, you can be great by doing the actions and reading the books of a great person. Number 10, last one. Number 10, give unconditional love. Give unconditional love. Not uncritical love, but unconditional love. Listen to what I just said. I'm not telling you not to be critical. I'm not telling you not to be constructive. I'm not telling you to love everybody around the whole world. You should love everybody in the whole world, but that doesn't mean that you need to let them in your garden and plant their seeds in your garden. But everybody you meet needs to become the most important person you met all day long. You want to be a good CEO? You want people to walk into your job and die for you? You want to get hired? You want people to say, no matter what Melissa is doing, I'm going to hire Melissa. No matter what Grady is doing, I'm going to hire Grady. Grady is going to get promoted. Give unconditional love. Listen, guys, nobody wants to work with somebody. Nobody wants to promote somebody they can't stand to work with. And another thing, why would I enjoy working with you if every time we have a disagreement, you have a problem with me? Your job is to give unconditional love. The more you love people, the more they'll follow you, the more they'll defend you, the more they'll work for you, and the more your business will be successful. Give unconditional love. Let me repeat 1 through 10 so you can write it down and be well and be merry. Number 1, find your passion. Number 2, hire well. Number 3, don't care what others think. Number 4, read, read, read. Number 5, you need to have a margin of safety. Number six, have a leg up on the competition. Number 7, schedule for your personality. Number 8, always be competing. Number 9, model success. Number 10, give unconditional love. God, love what you do. Be very good at what you do. And model for success by simply giving unconditional love. My name is Antonio T. Smith Jr. If you like anything about this phone call, if you loved it, hated it, however it was, tell people. Get them on the next phone call. Get them on the next time. Share your notes. Be successful. Listen, guys, you will never be successful taking notes and not doing anything. Your job is to take what I have just told you. Your job is to take what I just showed you and be successful no matter where you are in life. If you love it, great. If you don't love it, too bad. But either way, wherever you are, plant better. Thank you for coming out. God bless you and good night.
There's something inside of you that nobody can take from you, that nothing can ever come against, that nothing can ever stop. You were meant to be great. You were meant to be the most amazing you that has ever lived. Nobody can speak with your voice better than you. You have come here to be amazing. Not average, not good, not great, amazing. And then when you reach amazing, you exceed that and you go to spectacular. This is your time. Build your life brick by brick. You are enough. You've been enough. You will always be enough. You can only be nothing but enough. And then more than that, you are the greatest. Build your life. Be it, do it, see it, and then give it back to others. Brick by brick.